We're in lesson 7 in the book of Daniel as we continue some things. And last lesson, we left kind of off with the book of Acts. And you got to think about this for a second. The book of Acts, it really does not directly deal with the book of Daniel. But as we studied the book of Daniel in our lessons, we had found out that God had left Israel politically. Okay? But they were still God's people. Even in captivity, they still was God's people. So in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, had John the Baptist and Jesus Christ ministering to the people. Now, who was the people that John the Baptist and Lord Jesus Christ was ministering to?
Israel.
The Jews. Now, if you was a Gentile, which I was a Gentile, unless I get my DNA back this week and find out I'm 100% Hebrew, then we're going to, you know, might change some things up, but I'm just saying I'm a Gentile, and Gentile, all it means is nations. Okay, God dealt with one nation, as you know that. But before Jesus Christ is rejected, the 12 apostles are called and trained by who? Jesus. Who trained the 12 apostles?
Jesus
Christ trained them, and he trained them, and all through the time of Matthew, through the book of John, he's training them. And Jesus knows he's going to die. And Jesus knows he's going to be buried. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows that he's going to be rise again. But he leaves and he comes back, don't he? And the Holy Spirit, if you think about it, came upon 12. Those 12 men that Jesus Christ trained were at. What books did the after the Lord Jesus Christ was descended and gone, the Lord Jesus Christ did come back for 40 days and had a Bible seminar. You know, he trained them and told them, hey, this is what's going on, but I'm going to leave you a what? We call it a comforter. So the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they will continue to do the work that Jesus Christ trained them to do. They didn't go out and start doing anything different. See, a lot of people don't realize that when John the Baptist, this is what settles me for everything. When God the Father sent John the Baptist down here, and what was his message? Okay. He gets his head cut off. What did the Lord Jesus Christ preach and teach? He didn't change that message, guys. He said the same thing. Repent and be baptized for remission of sins. And he taught the 12. What did they do to him? They crucified him. Then the 12 comes along. What is Peter teach in Acts chapter 2? That message is the same. And it don't change. But people will fight you tooth and nail about, oh no, the book of Acts chapter 2 is where the body of Christ started and the church started at the cross, and therefore you got to do this, and Peter is the apostle to everything. That's error. And you know that studying the book of dispensationally. But the Gentiles are cut off from the nation Israel at that time, and they're still middle wall up. You understand that? The Gentiles are down here. Now the book of Acts, and we're going to look at some things. If you want, where did I tell you to go? Daniel, Romans chapter 11, and we can go there for right now. But look, book of Acts, the ministry of Christ had begun is carried to the Jews through the 12 apostles. That was his agency. That was his vehicle to get the message out. And then the fall of Israel takes place in Acts chapter 7. And from Acts chapter 7 to the book of Acts, you're looking at 33 A.D. to around 63 A.D., you'll see a diminishing of the nation Israel. Okay, this Bible timeline we use very, you know, frequently to understand that God is on a timeline. The Bible is on a timeline, and it's good to see that, isn't it? Many of us are on timelines. But in Romans chapter 11, as you there, verse 11 through 15... We won't read them all, but the thing is, Paul says, I say then, had they stumbled that they should fall. Now, who is that they?
Israel.
Okay, very good. If you understand the book of, Paul wrote 13 epistles. And the book of Romans is broke down 4 different ways. And one of the ways is chapter 9 through 11 is a dispensational view of Israel. Paul is talking to the saved Israelites here, guys. He's not talking to the lost Israelites, okay? And you know there's lost Israelites, right? The stumbling is there, but they didn't fall. You with me? They stumbled. Have they stumbled that they should fall? Let me turn there real quick. That they should fall. What's the answer? God forbid. God protest. They stumbled, but they didn't fall. But rather through their fall, okay, you with me? But rather through the, so they do fall. Well, you look outside today, there's ice out there. Many of you might have stumbled getting out of your car on that ice, right? But did you fall? You take another step. But you take another step, there's a chance you fall. So they fall. Israel's fall takes place in Acts chapter 7. And salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminish of them be the riches of the Gentiles. See that diminishing? Israel diminishes between Acts chapter 7 to Acts chapter 28. They just don't fall off a cliff. It's a slowly decline in the book of Acts that takes place. And who gets saved in Acts chapter 9?
Paul,
very good. So Lord Jesus Christ, where is he at? Down here teaching, still teaching the 12?
He's
in heaven. He's on the right side. So Lord Jesus Christ from heaven reaches down and intervenes and arrests Paul, if you will. His whole career is stopped. Boom. And Paul trusts the Lord Jesus Christ there as his Savior in Acts chapter 9. Now let me ask you something. You think Paul knew who God the Father was? You think God knew who God the Creator was?
He was well schooled.
He knew who God was. But this Jesus Christ, didn't he have threatening letters from, you know, people above him saying anybody preaches his name, go after him? So he really didn't know who the Lord Jesus Christ was. So what did he ask the Lord?
Who art thou, Lord? What would you have me to do?
And what did he say? What did Lord say? I am
Jesus, whom thou persecutest.
And he's like, to me, he's like, wow.
Am I in trouble?
Yeah. You know, I know who art thou, Lord. He knew who God was. But this Jesus, it changed his world. You know, he can change your world too. He's changed mine. But look, Paul was the only man in history at one time with the conversation of one individual was both a Jew and a Gentile being saved at the same time. Being saved at the same time. You ever thought about that?
Say that again.
He's the only person in history that was a Jew and a Gentile that being saved at the same time. So we need to think about that, just that along right there for a second. Because isn't that what God's doing with the body of Christ?
Yeah, to the Jew first, also to the Greek.
And at that time, the 12 represent who? The nation Israel. And Paul represents
nations,
the body of Christ. Paul is a Jew, a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew. You know his pedigree. He was a man right going up through that religious system. And the book of Acts talks about he made profit from that religion. So there was money making in that religion. And at the same time, Paul can look at a soldier in the book of Acts and say what? A Roman soldier and say what? I'm a free man. I'm a Roman citizen. They got in trouble for that, didn't they? When he got in prison, got beaten, and when he said, I'm a Roman, and they were like shaking. I mean, we got to slip him out the back. That's what. And he goes, No. You brought me down these steps. You're taking me right back up there. So you couldn't do that if he's just a Jew. And once again, as we bring back around where we're at in the book of Daniel, what is the theme of the book of Daniel? Come on.
Gentile world powers.
Gentile world powers. Well, yeah. The times of the Gentiles. Okay? The time. So who's ruling the world?
Gentiles.
So that goes on. The body of Christ begins, and we know the ministry through the ministry that Christ gives Paul. It didn't begin at the cross. It didn't begin at the Acts chapter 2. The issue of the book of Acts is not where does the body of Christ begin, but the issue is the fall of Israel and the diminishing away of Israel and their opportunity that extended to Israel in the early Acts. You know what Acts chapter 1 verse 6 says about when will you again restore the kingdom to who? Israel. That's all they wanted. They knew, hey, you promised us a kingdom. You promised us we're going to sit on 12 thrones. You told us this and you told us that. Now where is it? That's a good question, isn't it? You know, the kids, you promise them kids that you're going to take them out to get ice cream later or something like that. They're going to hold you to it.
Yeah, we almost there?
Yeah, I mean, let's go. Come on, what's the hurry? Hang on. You're going to get it. Or you're going to get this. You know, one or another. But look, in Acts 13, then Acts 18, we looked at this in a couple lessons. Finally, in Acts 28, you see the Apostle Paul make three pronouncements. I'm going over this again so you'll know, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, right? It's not originating anything. He is just stating what is going on. Now, Acts 28, people says that the body of Christ started, or dispensation of grace started in Acts 28. They'll agree with the body of Christ starting in Acts chapter 9. And you're like, yeah, believe me, we lose a lot of people towards that stuff. Same as Acts chapter 2, people says the body of Christ started and the dispensation of grace started. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. In Acts 13, verse 46, Paul's saying, seeing you count yourself unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Okay? In Acts 18, verse 7, I'm going over this, so we've been over it before. I'm just sharing it. Acts chapter 18, verse 6 says, when the Jews blasphemed in Corinth, Paul says, henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. Okay? In Acts 28, verse 28, Paul says, be it known to you that salvation is sent to the Gentiles. Going, gone. You with me? So, sent means that it's already gone out. Is it not? So it's nothing started there. Those Acts 28 people says it started right there. This is where he goes. But you can't get your doctrine out of the book of Acts, guys. It's a transitional book. Always think about it as a shifting sand. It's always moving. That type of thing. Nothing starts in Acts 28. In Acts 28, salvation is already preached to the Gentiles. The diminishing of Israel ends in Acts 28. Okay, you with me? They're down here now. By Acts 28, they're down here. Which occurs in Acts 7 to 28. Now, the point in the scriptures of the ending of the transition period. It is the end of Israel as it is an issue of the mind of God for any reason. Did I say that right? Until that time, the nation Israel was an issue before God. I think we understand that, right? And God bore a witness in Israel saying, all day long I have held up forth my hand to a disobedient, gang-slaying people. He was long-suffering with them guys. You know that? And he laid them out there. And what is being shown here is God's threefold division or withdrawal of God's blessing to Israel. He done left them politically, but now he's going to leave them spiritually. Now, not the saved ones. Please keep that in your mind. The little flock was saved, sealed, and sanctified, my books. They're going to go right over here. But there's also a group of people out there that's part of Israel that wasn't saved. You with me? That's who Paul went after. They still in their synagogues worshiping the Hebrew God and the Bible and don't care about the Jesus Christ, their Messiah. So he goes in those synagogues and teaches them who Jesus Christ was. He converted some, right? But some of them said, get out of here. They're lost as a lost person is, ever was. And the progressive diminishing of Israel effectiveness until a point where he could say Ichabod was written spiritually over nation Israel. He's gone from them, guys. Now, I know many of us in our mind can think and read that we've always been told Israel's God's chosen people and we need to support Israel, that type of thing, over and over and over. You can do whatever you want to. But God does not have a favorite nation status today on anybody. He's not forming a nation. He's forming a what?
Body of Christ.
Body of Christ. That nation Israel one day will, and we'll see, God will pick up where he left off. And they've got a debt to pay. And they're going to suffer many things. And they ain't going to suffer any, I mean, you know, people talk about World War II and all that stuff, you know, as his Jews got suffered. That was bad. I'm not saying anything, but there's a coming a day that God's wrath's going to pour out on them. And God's wrath is not poured out on you and I today through weather, through circumstances, stuff like that. Listen, the wrath of man is poured out on us. Tightening down things, taking stuff away. That ain't God doing that. That's man's doing that. God don't save us from the wrath of man. He saves us from the wrath of God. Look. The contrast what happens in the temple and the political fall of the nation Israel in the book of Ezekiel. The Shekinah glory of God, that manifest of God present, leaves that cherubim and goes out of the temple threshold to the Mount of Olives. We looked at that. Going, he gets up from the threshold, the mercy seat. He goes to the threshold, going, and he goes out to the Mount of Olives, gone. And he did not come back there. He hasn't come back there yet. And from the Mount of Olives to the Shekinah glory vanishes into the third heaven. And it's the issue that just a political glory was gradually withdrawn from Israel when they fell in the book of Ezekiel. And they're gradually spiritually withdrawn from Israel in the book of Acts. Because you have to admit and believe God's word, knowing that as you studied the word of God dispensationally, that wall was still up. Even after they're in the times of Gentile, they still had a wall. And they still had a petition. And they were still God's people if it was spiritually. The transitional period is the explanation for the difficulties that you'll find in the book of Acts. If you understand how he left them spiritually. Going, gone. Going, gone. God lays it out in three ways. And for example, these things are practiced during the book of Acts, are written during that time. Paul writes the book of Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians during this time. They're called the Acts Epistles. He writes Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians at the close of the book of Acts. And this is why when you go into the Acts Epistles, if you will, you'll find some things that are consistent with that transitional period. You know, you can look at the book of Acts and go to Acts chapter 20 and find out where he wrote Romans. You with me? And find out where he wrote these books. But you go into the book of Romans and realize who he's talking to. The body of Christ. And how he's dealing with things. And you'll need to understand the transition of these books. I can't say it enough. You've seen people and know people that will base their doctrine off the book of Acts. And they won't even pick up Paul's epistles. And understand nothing. The spiritual fall begins in Acts chapter 7, and Paul gets saved in Acts chapter 9. And chapters 18 through 28, he travels all over the Mediterranean area with the gospel. And the Gentile churches are being started there, aren't they? So everywhere, Gentile churches, in homes, going in synagogues and converting them and all that. If you don't understand the transition, you don't understand what's going on. And the book of Acts never tells you what the Gentile churches are about. You ever notice that? You ever notice when you read the book of Acts or look through the book of Acts, there's very few mention of Gentiles in there. You ever notice that? Whose still name pops up all through there? Israel. So it's not really about the Gentiles. It's about the Israelites that is being lost. And the book of Acts doesn't tell you what Paul is doing or what's right as he starts Gentile churches. You have to go to Paul's epistles in Romans through Philemon and what's written to the Gentile members of the body of Christ to explain what's happening in chapters 18 through 28. And the book of Acts is a book of transition from the kingdom program that is in effect in the book of Acts to what? To the body of Christ at the dispensation of grace at the end of the book of Acts. Israel has diminished away spiritually. You with me on that? You understand that they're down here. We're not up here. Everybody's down here. So you think God knew that was going to happen?
Sure.
Sure he did. You see a progressive revelation going through Acts chapter 13, 18, and 28. The fall takes place in Jerusalem. Then he moves out to pronounce into Syria. And then further he pronounced into Greece, then Italy, then Asia. See a progression? Paul's doing that. And that progression moving out and the demonstration of Israel fall are as the diminishing away. You ever thought about what might happen if they did trust and accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah? You ever thought about that for a second? You ever thought about the fact that if they trusted their Messiah, no matter what, coming down the railroad tracks, the prophetic timeline,
70th week of Daniel,
was going to come in effect. Then he was going to the Antichrist. Then the kingdom on earth. Okay? Then the great white throne of judgment. But what about the heaven? What about the heavens? You ever thought about that? I do. Because what did God keep secret in himself before the world began? So he purposed in his... He had a plan for the dispensation of grace to happen anyway. He still had to deal with the heavens. I don't know if y'all, maybe this is too deep, but I'm telling you, he had this in himself. So this time period was coming whether you wanted to come or not.
He knew.
He knew that.
Yeah.
He knew it. But he did not disclose any of that information. See, we got brothers that jumping on that bandwagon saying, oh, it's in the scriptures. They knew it was there, they just didn't know about it. And I look at them, I'm like, listen, who is wiser than Daniel?
See?
He knew that plan. He knew that plan from beginning to end. He did not know about the age of grace. But he knew about this all the way over to that, and he's a liar from the beginning. He's still denying it. So if he can convince you, that dispensation of grace, that ain't how you get saved. You got to go over here and join this church and be baptized and give tithes and all that stuff. You know that? You know what I'm getting at? That don't hurt. What Satan don't like is the fact that the dispensation of grace is going on. And they demonstrate through Paul's ministry the gradually diminishing of the importance of Israel and their spiritual decline. Today, the nation Israel has no status before God. That's a bold statement, ain't it? Think about it. God's not dealing with a nation. He's dealing with a body. And anybody in the world today needs to understand that Christ Jesus came to save them and was buried and rose again, and they become a member of the body of Christ. And we're waiting for that last member to be saved so he can take us out of here. Because there's positions in that heavenly government that's got to be taken care of with us. Because 1/3 of the angelic being has fallen with Satan, and there's principalities and powers and mights and thrones and dominions up there, same as it is on this earth. It's all about power. It's all about theme. It's all about the Bible having authority over the whole universe. They had status, position, and relationship with God in the book of Acts. However, in the late Acts, the relationship starts to diminish, what? Bit by bit by bit. Going, going, gone. Go back to the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar. The word Shinar is the old world word for Babylon. Okay? The Tower of Babylon, Babel, in Genesis chapter 11, is in the land of where?
Shinar.
Okay, so you put all them together. To the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Now Nebuchadnezzar carries away the vessels to indicate his own greatness. Right? You go in there and you attack somebody, you take their spoils, right? And you're like, well, look at their house of their God. I'm taking it. This is my greatness. You ever remember what happened in chapter 5 of 1 Samuel when the Philistines took the ark and placed it in the temple of Dagon?
Knocked their god over,
fell down.
Yep. And when morning came, if I'm pronouncing that right, D-A-G-O-N, Dagon, yeah. Isn't that the fish god? Well, it looks like a half fish, half man. But anyway, was lying face on the floor. Imagine having a God that can't get up in the morning.
Ouch.
Yeah.
If I
can't get up. You know, he just, come on, get up. Here, let me help you. I'm still serving you, that type of thing. The Philistine stood the idol back up, and the following morning the idol fell over. Not only did he fall over, it broke his head off. So the Philistines had put the Ark of the Covenant in that temple to demonstrate that Israel's God was subject to their God. Mm-hmm. Therefore showing the Philistines in their own eyes, we're the greater people. Nebuchadnezzar has a God. And notice Nebuchadnezzar carries the vessels to the treasure house of his God. And his God goes by the name of, you know what his God's name is? Baal. Sometimes it's called Baal. But in the Bible, it will be Baal or Baal. That is the God that Nebuchadnezzar worships. Anybody ever read the book or got the book, The Two Babylons, by Alexander Hyssop? He explains that and shows you all these gods and does a thorough job of all those. And there's God's name everywhere. He studied and translated the original documents and tablets. You know, in a book of when Israel was in captivity in Egypt, those 10 plagues, you know, that was 10 gods. And the Creator put down every one of those gods. Finally, he controlled death, didn't he? You know what I mean? And it put them out. And, you know, he traces a lot from God through Babylon history, from Nimrod, and has six different names of God all the way over to Babylon, from Nimrod to there. And, you know, Romans call her Venus. Wait a minute. Let's back up. You ever heard a goddess in the heaven called Queen of Heaven? And she has several different names. Romans calls her Venus. Greek called her Diana. And later Minerva. Phoenicians called her Astra. Syrians called her Asheroth, if I'm pronouncing that right. And you see the name Queen of Heaven even used today. You ever notice that? There's churches out there. I know this is not a good illustration, but there's a coffee company out there that people flocks to. And on that cup, it looks like a queen. Got a star on her head and a hair down to here. They go in there and they do drink offerings. They make their little cakes, and they're making their millions. And people use that religiously. I didn't want to say that, but you did. But I jokingly rub people like that. That's Queen of Heaven. And they're like, no, she ain't a mermaid. I'm like, no, you're going there with drink offers and cakes and all that stuff. I don't like that coffee, to be honest with you. So anyway, the Queen of Heaven's used today, and it goes back way 2,000 years before Christ in the history books. You can find those, their gods and the cultures. But God, Nebuchadnezzar's god is Baal. It's called Baal worship in the Bible. And Daniel chapter 1, verse 3 and through 5 reads, and the king spake unto, was it Aspenaz? Yes. The master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding and science. And such he had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach and learn in the tongue and the tongue of Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end they therefore might stand before the king. Now, there's something interesting in that. Skillful in wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding. You know what God wants us to have? We talked about that today. It's more. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. If you get the wisdom of God right divided, and the knowledge of Him, what He's doing today, and an understanding, you'll be far more advanced than any Bible school that ever teaches you. And that's what God wants each and every one of us to understand. You know, gold, silver, and precious stones? You know that wood, hay, and stubble burn? All that stuff you're learning about, all kinds of stuff, religious stuff, it's going to burn. But what's going to be behind? Gold, silver, and precious stones. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. If you do a study on that and look at that, that's what gold is. Wisdom. You know how people get that gold and are like, look at me. You know, I'm wise. I can buy silver, knowledge. What's the next one?
Precious stones.
Understanding. All that plays into that stuff, man. And you're going to grow and grow and grow with wisdom, knowledge, and with the right doctrine. You're going to be that gold, silver, and precious stones that He's going to put up there in heavenly places and shine. Aspenaz was the king's eunuch. And a eunuch is a servant of the king. It is not always necessary that... let me back up a minute. The issue is that the eunuch is a servant of the king, and Aspenaz is Nebuchadnezzar's servant. You with me? Now, we've got a few seconds or minutes. Let me finish this. A technical point in verse 3 is where it says, he should bring certain of the children. Now, you ever heard of British Israelism? Ted Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong, these radio preachers and all that stuff, talks about they believe that Britain and the United States made up a part of the 10 lost tribes of Israel and was when it was carried away to Syria. So those part of those 10 northern tribes, you probably already, they believe that, if I remember correctly, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the city of God, the throne of God, was transferred from Jerusalem to Britain. Because Great Britain become a united kingdom all over the world, they lost it. Now it's in the United States. You with me? That's nonsense. Okay? Because where is it at now if the United States fall? It's not in Venezuela. They're in horrible shape right now. So is it going back over? How do you say the money world system seems like it's shifting into Asia again? Oh, China's getting big. All that stuff. But they believe that the races of Anglo-Saxon, Norwegian, Swede, German race make up of those 10 lost tribes. And Armstrong says that after the captivity of Jeremiah took the king's throne and the king's daughter north to Europe and all that stuff. Don't believe that. What you read in verse 3 is Abdez brought certain of the children of Israel. Notice it doesn't say the children of Judah. Nebuchadnezzar captured Judah, the southern kingdom of Judah. Jerusalem was the capital of Judah, and along with Benjamin, they comprised the southern kingdom. Now the northern kingdom of Israel, with the 10 northern tribes, they had been in Assyria captivity for years at that point. The Old Testament history, along with Solomon's death, his sons divided the kingdom, you know that. And the northern kingdom set up an empire, and the southern kingdom set up an empire too. And God had made a provision that the kingdom would never be divided, or should never have been divided. And that's God's way of accomplishing that the 3 years, all year, of those men of Israel were to go to Jerusalem to what? Worship. It didn't matter where you was at, they had to come to Jerusalem worship. So there's a point when they was there, Nebuchadnezzar captured them in Judah. So the representative of all the nations was in Babylon. You with me? Everybody, they talk about when the Lord Jesus Christ was coming in there, all the representation of the 12 tribes was there. Period. They would. Because I guarantee you, if you was a true Bible believer, and you had a northern synagogue up there, and a king up there said, "Hey, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. You can come right here and worship, save you the trip. You don't wear out your shoes. You don't want to carry them sheep down there, 400 miles. But if you was a true Bible believer, what would you do?
You would make the trip.
You would have made a trip. You wouldn't have took your lamb. You took money. Walked in that marketplace, bought you an unblemished lamb, if you would. But we know what they did. They sold you garbage and they kept the good stuff. That's what made Lord Jesus Christ mad. You know, it wasn't, that they was doing, they was doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know that, don't you? Mm-hmm. It's the way they was selling people, ripping people off. That's what made them mad. Could you imagine taking a nice lamb that you're going to bring to the Jerusalem to give to God Almighty, a nice lamb, and by the time you walk that thing down 400 or 500 miles, whatever it was, it looked like what? They look at you like, that ain't going to happen. You know, we have to eat this. God gets, we're going, weird stuff, man. But God required to be Jerusalem and southern kingdom 3 times a year. The northern kingdom set up their own religion like I was sharing. And they had set up a golden calf in Dan and in Beersheba. And there said, "Come and worship. And that thou calf our gods," just like they did in Exodus 32. Dan, the tribe of Dan, set all that stuff up. and they institute Baal worship into Israel. Listen, that's been a factor from day one. You know what happened when they came out of Israel, and Moses and Joshua goes up on the mountains, and they came down, and there's drums beating, and Joshua's like, hey, they're waging war down there. And they're beating. Not Indian beat, but yeah. And Moses said, no, they're down there dancing.
Rock and roll time.
And they was down there worshiping around that idol. That all that worship, they brought that stuff out of there. We bring it there home. You know, I'm going to admit to you this. I love all kinds of music. On my iPod, I got 14, 1500 music, you know, and it goes from A to Z, don't share. And I was talking about this last night, that, you know, I brought up in rock and roll, and, you know, country and all that stuff. And, you know, y'all brought up in Elvis, and everybody hated him or liked him or whatever case may be. And, you know, I really didn't follow the words to the song. I liked the beat, you know, and all that stuff. And then years later, I'm listening to the song. I'm like, ooh, did they really say that? Sure, he'd tell me, cut that stuff off. Did you not realize what the... I said, I wasn't caught up in the word. I was caught up in the beat. So you can get caught up in that stuff and lure you around. But before the captivity and the dispersion of the 10 tribes took place, the faithful in the northern kingdom migrated to the south, like I just said. And the faithful was there. And all the 12 tribes was in the southern kingdom at any given time. Well, I couldn't say any given time, at least 3 times a year. So that Armstrong guy's wrong.
Yeah.
You reckon?
You probably had books of them, didn't you? No. People do, won't they? I've got a bookshelf of...
Argue with people at work.
Okay, okay.
Have these guys watching on TV. Oh, you hear what Garner Ted said.
Okay, yeah. But the thing is, you know... I've got stuff on my bookshelf I really shouldn't have on my bookshelf. Sherry tell me, clean that stuff off. Make room for new stuff, you know? And it's just there for if somebody's got a question. It's not that I'm pulling it out preaching that stuff. No, you preach the book. Don't preach book about books. And the distinction between Israel and Judah is a political distinction. It's not a racial distinction. They're still brothers. They're still Jews. And a citizen in the kingdom of Judah began to be called... What do they... Let me back up. What do you call the people, citizens from Judah?
Judean?
Jews.
Jews. Yeah, Jews. And you hear people take that term Jew and they say they were in the northern kingdom who weren't really a Jew... Or they was, because they wasn't from the tribe of Judah. You're really not a Jew. That's crazy, you know that. Judaism is a religion. All of them was Hebrews. That's a race. That's why you and I can never be a Hebrew. You had to be born a Hebrew.
Yeah.
You with me? And to be a born a Hebrew was something. Now, a Gentile become a what? When they become a Jew, become a Jew, part of Judaism, they're religious, they are known as a proselyte. They basically get the same, what do you call it? Rewards, or they can go into synagogues. You with me?
Going so far.
They can be, they're part of them, almost like if you adopt somebody. You know, in your mind, they're your kid, right? But outside of them, somebody else says, oh, he's been adopted. He's really not this and that. Well, God says, yeah, you are. Because that's the only way a Gentile become a Jew or become a part of the nation of Israel is become a proselyte. A proselyte. Yeah. When Nebuchadnezzar takes away, he recognized that the people he's taking into captive are the nation Israel. He didn't separate them. The nation Israel and the entire nation is represented. There are not 10 lost tribes there. They're not 2. So God scattered the idolatry portion of the tribes of in the northern kingdom, but the faithful remnant of those was preserved in the southern kingdom in Jerusalem. That's what I'm talking about. Before
Benjamin and Judah.
Yeah. If I was a part of Dan and I was faithful to God, I'm going to Jerusalem. Hey, if you understand the Word of God right and divided and you're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to stand on what's truth, and you know other people don't. Are you going to go over here? Many of us have been over there, and we've seen like, wait a minute. This is not right, but this is right. And you make that step over here to understand the Word of God rightly divided and to understand what God is doing today through Paul's epistle, and he's your apostle. It makes a world of difference. Mm-hmm. You're part of something that is not made up. So Daniel chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And the king spake to Aspenaz as the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of who?
Israel
and the kings and of the king's seed and of the princes. Nebuchadnezzar wanted the cream of the crop.
Were these his kids, his seed, or Israel's kids?
It's got to be Israel, because he said of the king's seed. So they're talking about Israel.
Okay.
He probably heard of Solomon. He probably heard of David. Hey, they were in a country in this world didn't know who Israel and their God that they served. So look, he wanted, and the best of the best. Isaiah 39, hold your finger, I'm going to close with this verse. Isaiah 39, verse 5. Write that in my notes. It says write that beside Daniel chapter 1 verse 3. And it reads, then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of the sons they shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shalt take away, and thou shalt be eunuchs in the palace of the king of who?
Babylon.
Isaiah warned them.
That kind of cut off the family tree, didn't it?
So the verses in Isaiah prophesies about the exact same we're talking about in Daniel. So this fulfillment is the passage of Isaiah. And when he says back in Daniel chapter, children of whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning knowledge and understanding of science. The idea of the word science is ability to correlate and put facts together. Not that they're going to study this flat earth world or round world or, you know, are there three heavens or... Why is Venus and this, you know, you got to follow the stars. You know, we was talking about mapping the other day. And before, well, when you sailed the seven seas, how did you follow? What did you follow? You couldn't walk it. Stars. Yeah, stars and the moons and all that stuff. And it positioned you to do certain things. When you walk in a map, as my son was sharing with me, there's so many steps in meters, and each block is 1,000 meters, okay? On a map, each block 1,000 meters, and you walk certain steps. 66 steps was, say, 100 meters. Well, if you went up a hill, you're not going to walk the same steps. So you might have to double that steps. And it's like, I didn't know that. You know what I mean? I'm like, it's... But it... So when they tell you to go 200 meters this way and 200 meters, you know, you got to know the terrain, and it punch you right there where you need to be. Well, that's understanding putting things together, isn't it? And such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, of whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of Chaldea. He's wanting these best of the best to stand there, and guess what he wants them to do?
Teach them. Make them wise.
We got institutions today wants the best of the best, and they're going to teach you things like this, or what they want you to teach. You know where I heard something that, you know, I think at the University of Florida, there's such a waiting list, or people won't get in there, that some of the best students with the best grades can't get in there because they want a particular type of people come in there. I don't know if they play football or not. I guess they have the liberty to do that. But, Harvard and all that, they want certain people. So, let's finish this thought. In verse 4, in Daniel, the word children is not referring to someone 4 and 5 years old. You know.
Right.
Okay. The word children is referring to someone that's 14 to 20 years old. You know, the Bible don't talk anything about teenagers. But we use that word a lot, don't we? You got to have a teen group. You know, they're children, youth, and men, young men, you know what I mean? That type of thing. They're called, we would call them young people at this age. Daniel gets to be very old man, see verse 21, while he's in captivity. King Cyrus dates the 70 years of captivity, and Daniel lives a few years beyond that. I'll finish this thought. There's an indication that Daniel was about 14 years old at the time he was taken captive. You come to that conclusion in verse 5 when you see the children are to be nourished for 3 years. The king appointed them daily provisions of the king meat and the wine and drank and nourished them 3 years. And at the end of that, they might stand before the king. So they're training them for a long time, ain't they? They're indoctrinating them. And the commentaries of the book of philosopher Plato wrote that the Persian education system ran from 14 to 17 years of age. What is high school? What is ninth through? I graduated when I was 17. So what?
14.
So yes, yeah, say so that's when you get. Howard will tell you it was demanding to have high school curriculum, wasn't it? For that age group, lower grades, put a crayon in their hand, you know, teach them 1 + 1 = 4, you know, that type of thing. Now just so, but when you got into higher grades, that's when their minds started developing. You ever notice that when they want you in the military is a certain age, 17 to, what, 30? I watched my son, you got a daughter, you know, young age, went in at right out of high school, 17, 18 years old, spent 5 years in there. And his mind was developed the way they wanted some things and today his mind is still being developed because he's waiting to answer to somebody. And he's like, I'm free. You know what I mean? It's scary to know that they take that young mind. Not that young. You know, your children's being developed by what you're teaching them. Right, Ben? But look. 14. If this is true and accurate, then the 3-year period of education would be matched in verse 5. And that is good indication that Daniel was about 14 years old when he went into captivity. Take the best. You don't take the older ones. And you can't take the younger ones because you got to feed them. And notice in verse 4, the description of the children are being well-favored, skillful, and cunning. And I quoted this quote on my Facebook this week that Bible's heroes were never sissies. You with me? There's not a Bible hero in your Bible that was ever a sissy. They was there for a reason, and they were strong. And Daniel, at 14 years old, as we're going to continue this, you're going to see how wise that young man became and how powerful he did because the things that he did for God and not Nebuchadnezzar. So when you think about Lord calls men and Daniel is a man, the world has the idea of you know, physical, perfect, beautiful, poised, and graceful, and a pleased. They want that man that looks like a man, that model person, right? And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you see your calling, brethren. And you know, and you look at everybody around us right now and everybody in ministry, we're all different shapes and sizes. We're all not cookie cutter people. So we all got a calling, if you will. And the world says reject and throw that person out. He's got glasses on. You can't fly an airplane. You got flat feet. You can't march with a pack on your back. You with me? They take this stuff. And the world says reject that, but God says come here and let me show you what I can do with that. Man, that's beautiful. Because, you know, take somebody like me that was just, you know, full of hate and discontent and the world and change me, change you. That's God's doing, guys.
Amen.
That ain't my doing. I would never change. I would be back on Genoa right now. You know, I'd be probably living by myself right now. But look. But he says, I can change that. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. You think about that when we study Daniel and study that God is not wanting the best. He makes us that way. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I always thought you had to work your way up, this, and do this. No, I was back there in that back seat in a Baptist church listening, wanting to know God, and these brothers from a dispensational church was feeding us, and I was yearning for truth because I've been lied to all my life. You with me? And then when we got a hold of this truth, I started coming up and started wanting to know more and more and more. You're the same way. You know, let God teach us through the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.